Hello, this is RM Bestia, and welcome to another episode of the podcast series on radical change in corporate IT. Today, meet Wolfgang Goebel. He's the founder and president of the Architectural Thinking Association. He is a lateral thinker and a visionary with a passion for challenging state-of-the-art concepts from new and exciting viewpoints. He's been working in the field of enterprise architecture management and business architecture in several large companies in Austria for 12 years now. In addition to his job as a lead IT consultant at ITERATEC in Vienna, he is a recognized speaker at various EAM conferences and author of several publications in journals in Germany and Austria. Mr. Goebel teaches a new way of enterprise architecture management at Donau University in Krems, Austria. Welcome, Wolfgang.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be there.
The questions are simple. Leaving aside the challenges that, you know, are inevitable when you want to change something into an organization, imagine you had a power, a magic wand, to influence radically the way IT engages itself within organizations. How would you redefine that relationship? What would be the changes in the roles, in the skills, in the interactions, collaboration models, structures, incentive, or anything you can, worth changing in your mind, would you envision for the IT capability to change to? And how would you see that happening for in order to maximize, you know, the value that IT provides?
Well, yeah, I think first of all, we should stop thinking about an IT department and a business department and the business people and IT people. So that's how companies are organized today. But I think this will change in the future. So my vision is that there will be no IT departments in 10 years from now. I think won't be, because think about digital transformation. That means that IT gets more and more interwoven into business processes. Yeah. So business people need to understand basic concepts of maybe artificial intelligence and so on, and IT people need to understand processes and so on. So I think what we see with digital transformation is that business and IT is about to merge into one. So then the question is simple to answer. The thing is that there will be no IT department, and there are already some companies in Germany, for example, BMW, they have to approach this business DevOps model, where business people and development and operation people work together and produce value streams from business to operations. I think this is a model for the future. I believe in this. Yeah. But to make this happen, what will be needed is that the basic skill to think in elements and relations, to think a bit like an engineer, not only as an engineer, it's what we call architectural thinking, is engineers, when you come from the IT side, they are trained and they are used to structure things. Yeah. So you, as an IT engineer, you structure things into methods and components and database tables, and they have relations to other database tables. So that the way of thinking, what you learn at technical universities, is exactly you think like an engineer, you think like an architect, and you have a quite structural way of thinking. And for me, it's a quite natural consequence of digital transformation to make this, to build the bridges, that the business people must and will start to think also in architectural structures, because some of them already do. You have process managers, for example, they are related to business. You have product managers, you have service designers, you have many people in the business that already think in structures, but usually the structures are not connected very well. The disciplines are not connected, and that's our vision. And so what I believe is, yeah, so that's a basic skill to be aware that you as a person or you as a discipline, or the thing you model, the product and services and so on, it's just one part of the business architecture, of the structure. And if you think architecturally, this means that you are aware how the things are related to each other, how are the services connected to the processes, how are the products connected to the processes, and then how are the processes connected to IT application, at the end to technology components and so on. So everything, of course, is connected. IT people are quite well trained in this way of thinking. Business people are not. Yeah. So our vision in Architectural Thinking Association is to bring this mindset and this way of thinking to the business side. And we believe that that would make an amazing difference to what happens today, because today business people blame IT, that complexity is increasing, that IT is totally out of control, everything is so slow and expensive in IT, and so that means that the architecture, IT architecture, isn't well designed at all. It has grown over the last 20 or 30 years, yeah, and its complexity is overwhelming and so on, but it's not okay if business blames IT, because it was a business problem, because business people made the wrong business decision. Yeah, they ordered the wrong projects, they paid for the wrong IT applications, they never spent the money to refactor, to re-engineer existing structures. So what we have today are non-adaptive IT structures, and these non-adaptive IT structures are the consequence of bad IT decisions. And what we want to change is help the people make better IT decisions, make more sustainable business and IT decisions. So business structure drives IT structures, not vice versa, of course. Yeah, and so that's my answer. Yeah, we must make architecture a management instrument, so that executives, when they make big decisions, strategic decisions, when they decide to launch a product or to close and drop a product or so, change organizational units, so they make big decisions. Yeah, but today usually they make decisions on bad information. What we believe is that it's possible to implement business architecture models and make it natural for executives and for business people to work with them, and that make it mandatory to have it in a boardroom, so that the C-level executives get used to using simple maps and say, okay, where shall I decide? When I make this decision, what's the consequence on that part of the business structure? Yeah, and then, that's our vision.
So what you're saying, Wolfgang, is that the disappearance of the IT department is in fact to want business people to evolve and become, architects of their business and the IT that supports it. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, so of course you will always have people that are trained and that are business architects. Yeah? And what's happening today is that they usually come out of the IT department. Yeah, that's natural. You start as a software architect and maybe enterprise architect, and you call yourself a business architect. But in reality, business people know their business much better. So I think the easier way is to make them aware and think architecturally and welcome and embrace architectural thinking. Yeah, it's not our, it's not IT stuff. Architecture is not IT stuff. It's their accountability, and they must feel accountable. And of course, they need business architects that are skilled and that are trained in capability modeling and so on to facilitate between the different stakeholders. But what I see today is that business thinks, okay, architecture, this is techie, right? It's IT stuff. We don't understand what they're doing, but it's expensive and it's slow. We don't need that. Yeah? What we believe is if you change this mindset and make them feel accountable, this would change everything, and it would lead over time to sustainable adaptive enterprises. Yeah, architecture starts at the business side. Business architecture is there. Yeah, business architecture gilt as a bespoke and so on, but it hasn't made it to a broader audience. Yeah, it's still bespoke is business architecture for business architects. It's not business architecture for business people. Yeah, and it's still a small group of people that does business architecture, and it must be opened and must be a natural concept like finance or so on. Yeah, every company does finance, but companies should do also architectural thinking. It's natural. Yeah? That's where we want to go.
Okay, that's great, great, Wolfgang. Yeah, great answer. So what I'm hearing also is that there you feel that there is currently a knowledge gap, and it's probably why the business people have left to the IT department these important tasks in the past. But what you envision is that they should. The knowledge gap should be filled at least partially. I mean, and so that they could take a handle out of the architecture of their business and, of course, the IT that's behind. Is that a right way to say it?
Yeah, I think accountability is important. Yeah, so if you don't feel accountable for your structure, then you are not accountable for the engine you are running on. Yeah, it's like a captain on a ship. Yeah, there's a lot of buzz around leadership and cultural agile organization and people and soft skills and so on. That's important, of course. Yeah, but if you don't take care of your engine, and IT is the engine, and also the business structure, the processes and so on, it's like a factory. Yeah, if you don't care about your processes and your IT and business structures, if you don't care about them, business will never be agile or adaptive. Yeah? So yeah, it's for me most important is make them feel accountable, and of course we must train them. I think it's important to make business architecture part of the curriculum of business schools. Yeah, today when you go to a technical university, yeah, you learn to engineer, or if you're a building engineer, when you go to a technical university, then you think architecturally, yeah, because that's natural. But when you go to a business school, you don't. Yeah, and we must change that, because business architecture, it's not rocket science. You have capabilities and you have processes and information objects. That's for me that are simple concepts, but not taught at business schools.
That's interesting, Wolfgang. So at the beginning, when you first answered my question, you said there won't be any IT anymore in the future. But I'm tempted to ask, well, there must be something that will still be an IT department, for example, you know, running computers, or don't you feel that there will still be an IT department?
I'm not sure if there will be IT department. What I think is that the technical aspect, so IT disappears in the cloud. So I don't care where my server runs. It's today with Amazon and Microsoft Azure and so on. So that the server is already gone. And then, of course, there is software as a service. Yeah, so you can rent already applications in the cloud. So the technology is here. So the question is, what is IT when the servers and the applications are hidden in the cloud somewhere? It's just the cost. Yeah, you pay some money and then you rent the software you use. So the cloud makes IT disappear. Yeah, of course, you need people that define the functionality of the applications. You need people that define the data structures and the interfaces to the outer world and so on. So I won't call them IT people anymore. These are people that are able to think analytically and that are able to structure more cloudy and vague business information and make them more and more precise. So I wouldn't differentiate between business and IT. I wouldn't differentiate between business. And when you start with a project or wanna have a vision for a new product, you start with a vision and not with precision. Yeah, and then you need to have a process that adds more and more details and more analytical thinking. And at the end of this project, at the end of this process, you deploy something in the cloud. But it's not so much about business and IT anymore. It's much more about precision. It's about the business idea that is high level and vague at the beginning. And then you need really brilliant business analysts, business architects that are able to convert this vision into more precision. For me, that's not business and IT. It's just a different level of precision.
I see. So what you're envisioning is that no IT department anymore, no over-the-counter kind of request to IT, but nevertheless, there will be specialties, you know, people that versed into levels of details where maybe, let's say, a marketing executive cannot get down into. But that's okay, because at some point you need to get into the details. Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's it. And it must become a seamless process. It's not like today you have business and they define the requirements and then you pass them to IT and they say, no, these requirements don't make any sense and that they are not feasible at all. We can't build this. Yeah. So today that's not a seamless process. Natural thing is you start with a vision and then you define your business architecture. So it's more precision. It adds more detail to your business vision, and then you have the business architecture that gives you a feeling and defines the high-level business processes, for example. And when you have them, you can detailed business process, and then you add the information objects and define, okay, which information objects do I need to run this capability, or which information do I need to run this process. And when I'm finished with this, the question is, okay, what attributes do I need in this information object? So it's I think the metamodal elements you need for this process already there. You need a vision, you need business capabilities, you need processes on various levels, you need information objects and on various levels, and that's it. Yeah, and then you need, of course, a brilliant user interface designer that builds the user interfaces based on information and processes.
So for our C-level executives in the audience here, our fictitious audience, does it mean that, you know, in 10 years from now, there will not be any CIOs anymore?
Sure. I bet. There won't. The role doesn't make any sense anymore. Doesn't make any sense.
That's a big statement. But I'm glad. I knew, Wolfgang, you wouldn't be afraid to say that.
But I don't want to scare anybody.
But they have 10 years to get there. So the second question is kind of a continuation of the first anyways, is, okay, now, given that's where you want things to be in the future, where should an organization start? I mean, tomorrow or next year, let's say, where should they put their energy first to get to that point?
I think, first of all, it makes sense to invest in business architects. So hire a well-trained business architect and let them create a capability model, a well-designed capability model of the current business. That's easy. It's not that much effort to do so. So if you have a highly skilled business architect, they can do that for you. Yeah, and a good capability model means that it's easy to understand and accepted and used by executives. My experience is that when you have a really crystal clear one and a simple one, and when you add your budgeting and your finance processes to these capabilities, it's an awesome management instrument. So if you want to have a quick win, yeah, hire a business architect, build a capability model, and connect the capability model with money, investment strategies, bring it to the boardroom, and let executives make decisions based on the current capability map. So when you have this, you can point your finger to, okay, we want to invest in capability A, or we want to reduce investment there, or we have a strategic goal, for example. You have a strategic goal in your enterprise, and where is it located on the capability? What does this, what new capabilities do I need to support this new strategic goal, and so on? What I feel is that amazingly powerful. So that's, for me, I would always start with this because it's quite a quick win. Yeah, if a trained business architect can, in half a year or a year or so, can create a capability map that is accepted and used in a larger company. It's not rocket science. Just you need to hire the right one, because I've seen many, many capability models that were unuseful, that were not usable. They're usually people that model business capabilities. They're coming from the IT side. They're IT architects and later called themselves business architects, and they tend to make things complicated and they tend to be too precise. Yeah, so there's the precision argument. So when you started in IT, what you're trained in is detail, precision, detailed data modeling. And that's I think 90% of capability models are far too detailed and not in the language of the business people. They have too much precision. Yeah, when you want to implement business capability as a management instrument, you mustn't be precise. You must speak the language of the executives. Yeah, so the great business architecture, business capability map is always in the language of the business people. And that sounds easy and sounds obvious, but I've not seen it very often in practice. Yeah, but okay, so that's where I would start. Yeah, and what I experienced is that when you implemented this and once the executives and business people work with this, it's so powerful and they start to think architecturally. And once you have this, you connect it, you can connect it with your customer journeys. It's quite natural. Yeah, it's the starting point for business architecture. So it's the starting point for architectural thinking. And then, of course, you should train your people and say, okay, we want to be sustainable. We want to design our enterprise. We don't want to run hundreds of projects that lead to complexity and bad overall enterprise designs. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, so that's the first step I would do.
That's good. Thank you, Wolfgang. So I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, so, and correct me if I'm wrong, but another way to phrase your strategy here would be to say that you don't need IT people to get more business acquainted or business knowledgeable. Instead, what you're proposing is that business people would acquire some, let's call it engineering skills. So you would move up some of the skills and knowledge that are currently into IT, move them up into the business so that they can take that in charge and benefit from that.
Maybe it's not so much about skills. Maybe it's more about accountability. It's not that business people say, okay, architecture, IT, it's not our accountability. We are not accountable for bad IT or bad structural decisions. We are not. So I think it's a mindset and it's a matter of accountability. Today there are great business architects out there. I know there are, but usually they come from the IT department because they have been trained in architecture and IT architecture, and then they shifted their focus to business architecture. So there are great guys out there. And of course, they should help the business people to build their business architects. It's their accountability. It's not the IT guy. It's not the architecture of the business architect. It's the architecture of the CEO, if you want.
Oh, I see. So I guess what you're saying is that the CEO should be the architect in chief.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this, Chris Potts also states this. Yeah, I'm not sure if this is right. He makes the big decisions, of course. Yeah. And then he, of course, needs somebody that facilitates and paints the business architecture diagrams. But if you want, of course, he makes the big decisions, and whenever he decides, or the board of director, when they decide to drop a product or launch a new plant somewhere and start a new product and service and so on, they make big decisions each and every day. And with these decisions, they shape the design of the enterprise. If you want, you can call them enterprise designers, enterprise architect. I'm not sure. It's a matter of terminology. You will always have somebody that we call architecture facilitator. It's more guy that communicates with many stakeholders and is responsible, not accountable, he's responsible for drawing the enterprise or the business architecture model. But accountable are the executives and the business people. So that's, I think that's the important difference between accountability and responsibility. Yeah?
And you talked about accountability a few times, so I guess it is quite important in your mind that one of the radical thing that needs to happen is that all these things are not quote unquote ugly and dirty IT stuff. It has to be owned and dealt with by the business.
Yep, I think that's the most important summary. Yeah, it's a matter of accountability.
Don't you agree that today it's hard for them to be accountable for something that they don't really understand or they cannot appreciate if it's good or bad?
Yeah, but my experience is that when you present a really cool capability map, or maybe if you connect this to finance and if you connect it to customer journeys and to IT applications, so if you're a skilled business architect today and you present them a company on one page, that's how Tom Graves called it. Yeah? If you present them a company in one page and if the executives are able to understand it in a second and use it as a management instrument, if you give this powerful instrument to them, they use it, they love it. Yeah? I've had this two or three times in my career. Yeah? And that's why I started architectural thinking, because it was wow. Yeah? I said, okay, this is the right map. And they were so happy, and they started to model and to design based on this map. They started to think architecturally. They behaved like enterprise designers just by providing the right tool and the right granularity with their terms, not the usual IT architect precision. And so that's amazing what can happen. And it's not that much effort to build this. It's not.
So we're back to the level of detail that you talked about. It's not about the fact that they cannot understand or appreciate it. It's because what they've been accustomed to see in the past was much too detailed.
Yeah, and not in their language. What I see quite often is it's not in their language. Architects tend to be semantically precise. Uh-huh. But business people aren't semantically precise. When you're an architect, you think a lot about the proper name, and is this semantically and syntactically brilliant, but that's not the point. The point is to name the things in the business architecture and use the terms that are most commonly used in the business. This sounds obvious, but doesn't happen in practice. So you're done when your map is used by the C-level executives. Then you know, oh, I've used the right words. I've used the right granularity. That's it.
Well, that's great, Wolfgang. I'm really happy that you provided all this information. This is awesome. This is really good material, more than I expected. And that's great. Ending words. Do you have anything else you'd like the audience to be aware of?
I think it will happen. So I'm quite optimistic. As for me, it's a logical consequence, and I can see it. It's maybe too much of a visionary, but for me, it's obvious that it will go in this direction. It's the only way. So yeah, I believe in this architectural thinking vision, and I think it's a way to get out of this trap and get out of this valley of tears I see in so many companies and so many applications and complexity, and IT is so expensive. And for me, it's the only way to get out of this trap is to switch the accountability of architecture from IT to business.
Great ending words, Wolfgang. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned or click on the next podcast for more awesome opinions from world experts on radical change in corporate IT.